Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. It is Taylor Nielsen.
And it's me, Jordan Macon. Good to be here with you, man.
Hey, man.
We've never had physical touch before. That's
a big moment for us.
That was big. I regret it, but it was big.
Especially since you've been off doing cruise ships.
I know.
I haven't seen you.
I know. Been at sea.
How's that going for you?
There's like the tide, there's ups and downs on that sea. Yeah. I can only do sea analogies now.
You've got a little bit, a weather-beaten face a little bit. Looks good, looks rugged.
I'm out there with the gulls and the fishes.
Playing around.
I never go to my room. I stand out there
all
night.
I like the idea of you getting on the whatever the roof of the ship is and just feeding the birds. And they're like, is that the comedian we saw last night?
Just covered
the guy doing the puzzle jokes. Well, it's good to have you on the mainland at least until you take off again.
It's real stable here. I like that. That's a cool thing about land. I just realized.
It's cool. I just take that for granted.
Yeah, you got a nice thing going. I almost grabbed your hand again.
Anytime you need to, I'm here.
I know.
Well, we wasted enough time. Let's get to our awesome guest.
We have stuff
here
to get to, man. Okay.
Should we see the clip?
Let's go to the clip.
But I do all kinds of paranormal things. I read tarot cards during the day. That's my job. Because I believe a secure retirement plan should be made of magic. I read tarot cards. That's a hard job. People don't want to hear the truth. Just the other day, I told this woman, you need to leave that man. He's crazy. And she said, I know, but he's still your father. I know. I'm a ghost hunter. Everywhere I go, people always go to me, Karen, you got to go to this hotel room. It's haunted by a woman that died in her wedding dress. Karen, you got to go to the train station. It's haunted by a woman jumped in front of the train in her wedding dress. Karen, you got to go to the store. It's haunted by a woman trying to buy a wedding dress. Ladies, do we need more reasons not to get married? You know what phone call I never get? Karen, you got to help us out. Our house is haunted by the ghost of a single woman who had a great career and no kids.
All right, you saw her. You love her. You know her from her Dry Bar Comedy specials, Ridiculous Me, and War and Instant Pudding. One of my favorite things in there. Welcome, Karen Rontowski.
Hi, it's nice to be here. You know, you were talking about the cruise ships. I have a weird connected tidbit.
Please tell me.
Do you know why pirates wore an eye patch? In case you run into a pirate while you're out there.
I mean, I assume they didn't miss an eye under there, but I'd like to know.
No. It was because when they were up on the deck, it was very bright. So when they went down beneath the deck, this eye would already be adjusted to the darkness, and they just flipped the patch.
Whoa.
Like they
night
were.
Night vision, a little. One
right?
Eye's night vision, yeah.
And so they were kind of the newest optometrists. But isn't that wild? Like,
I had no idea about that.
Right. Nobody.
I just thought goals were running into their eyes.
Right. Nobody nobody lost an eye. They always had the hook, and you thought that they woke up and went, oh, my eye.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it was not that at all.
There's lots of things that could take an eye out there. Swordfishes.
Yeah.
Flying out of the water.
Birds.
That makes more sense, though.
Yeah,
that it becomes because truthfully, you would think maybe a couple of them lost their eye, but there's so many eye patches. The eye patch to lost eye ratio is way off, so that makes more sense.
Right, right.
What was that peg leg for?
The peg leg, I'm not sure about. That may have been not as popular as the eye patch.
That's thermal vision.
I know. Did my microphone move away from me? Is there already ghosts in here?
Did it slowly drift away?
It will do that sometimes.
Oh, okay. All right, there. How's that?
No, well, we have heard that there might be a ghost in this building.
I think Utah is unbelievably haunted. I think the whole thing. And then when you put up all this equipment and all this EMF, they're all coming here.
And EMF stands for?
Just electromagnetic field. It's just a lot of, you know, tech energy, a lot of stuff like that. In fact, if the power ever goes out in here, they will get very uncomfortable, and you'd probably hear some moving around and some stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
Whoa. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we definitely wanted to get to this, and we're getting to it right away, which I love because I was excited to talk about it. You have at least a channel that you do kind of ghost hunting or What would you call it?
I kind of do. I guess I would say everything paranormal. I have a paranormal podcast, and I read tarot cards, and I do a show called Psychic Stand Up, and I do investigations, you know, ghost investigations. And I actually help people that have – I have a partner that we help people that have stuff in their house that they can't get out, like problems, real Whoa. Problems. Yeah.
So you're like the Conjuring people, kind of.
Not
the better podcast, though. Their right. podcast was trash.
And you could say they're a little braver, but it's kind of more dramatic what they, you know, I've only had a couple of cases that were really like, oh my God.
Oh, really?
Right. Like I don't even talk about them because you don't want to connect with the things. I'm already sounding crazy, but that's all right.
No, I'm so invested but in this.
Sometimes people kind of just have stuff floating around, or very rarely is it really bad. It's usually, you know, I always say that because I don't want people to get afraid, because like a real horrifying horror movie haunting is unbelievably rare, but mm-hmm. something weird in the house is pretty common.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm around Taylor, I get a real like, bad feeling.
You beat me to it.
Did you have the same joke I did?
I was workshopping.
Look at us. A little
bit. Haunted by Jordan.
Yeah, I feel like, to me, and anybody I talk to, ghosts and paranormal stuff is just so interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like people could talk about that stuff, you know, for hours.
Yeah. And there's so much, and there's so much we don't know, and there's all these little interesting tidbits that I forget I know from doing this for years that are like people will, if you see a ghost and or a spirit, they like, somebody told me they like spirit better. Ghost is passé, very politically correct on the other side. And if you are like, sometimes people will just see half of a ghost, or they'll see like from the knees up. And what you will find out, like if someone sees someone walking down, there's no shins, you can look up the history of the house and you'll find out that they built up and the spirit is still where the floor was. So it's actually walking through the floor, or you'll see it go through a wall because that wall wasn't there before. Uh-huh. So things like that are kind of interesting.
So if there had been a wall there, they would go around it because they kind of follow the same paths that they did in life. Is
right.
That sort of the idea?
Oh, right. And my really favorite cool. story is what they call a residual haunting, which isn't a spirit or anything. It's just like an energy that so many times happened that now it's still happening even when the people aren't here. And one of my favorite stories was this couple that bought a house, and they lived there for like 80 years. And when they first got married, the wife said, I don't want any cabinet covers. I want open shelves in the kitchen. And one week when she was away, the husband put in cabinet covers. And she was so mad that every morning she would get up and open the cabinets just to like be like, I didn't want this. Uh-huh. So sure enough, like 80 years later, another couple moves in. And they have to call the kids and go, why do we wake up every morning and the kitchen cabinets are open? Because that shows you how the anger in marriage continues, like, throughout time.
Marriage is forever, huh?
Yes. She sounds great, because I get in trouble for leaving cabinet doors open all the time.
So oh.
I would have been more compatible. There would have been no haunting in that house.
So. Right.
Now, I want to ask a question. Jordan is wondering about this. What's the relationship between cats and spirits?
Oh, this is a good question. So in paranormal investigation, you see them using they call it the all-spec camera, which picks up things that our eyes don't pick up. Uh-huh. Well, cats' eyes pick up so much more on the spectrum than ours do that they do see spirits. That's why their eyes are shaped like that. That camera is kind of catching the same thing the cat's eye can catch. So in mythically or so, theoretically, they keep spirits off of people. But that's kind of a theory. I can't quite say all of them. Some good. Of them.
I have five cats, so.
Some of them are just lazy. They're probably not all helping. But they do see, when you see your cat looking at something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a spirit or something, but it means they're seeing something in that full spectrum of color that we can't.
Yeah, my cats will stare at empty spaces sometimes.
Yeah.
I have questions. that they can't answer. But that does answer it somewhat.
And in dogs, are they the same way, or can they see less?
Dogs can see, also see spirits. You can see them react to it, but I'm not sure how much they're, because dogs have black and white vision, so I don't know how much they're seeing in a different way. Like, it's kind of a different view, but cats really see it all the time. I think dogs kind of more or less sense when something's off.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
So you said Utah's super haunted? Is it like in your top states of places? Why do you think that is?
Well, it kind of, there's a lot of, the East Coast, Utah's very haunted. Ohio is crazy haunted. I just moved up to upstate New York, and it's the worst I've ever seen. Like, problems all the time. And, but that's also up there, Civil War, Revolutionary War, wiped out the Indians. You know, all the cults start out there. Almost a lot of high percentage of cults start out in upstate New York. But I think it's the religious, a lot of religious stuff here, which isn't necessarily mean good or bad, but wherever you put in that much light, you're pulling in dark. Also, I think the land, there's something about the land here that's odd. Like 22nd Street, or what is it, Ogden?
25th.
Yeah. 25th? Uh-huh. That's crazy.
They do ghost tours there.
Yes, like, I've done one.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's, but, you know, each place has something, and there's tunnels underneath, and I think a lot of stuff that we don't get to hear about in history, you know, history is written by certain people, and so I don't think we know everything. But I feel like everywhere kind of here, it's just kind of mystical.
Interesting. Yeah. And you said, so EMF waves attract?
Yes.
Because we have a bunch of tech companies moving in too. So it's like we have all these tech people too.
Wow. Yeah. Right, well, you know, the stories that I heard, what was the hotel? It's now called the Bigelow, up in Ogden.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's right on the corner. That's got some real stuff in there. Bad stuff in there. Oh, interesting. And I went in there once, and it just they used to have the what do you call those in the that hold up the wall?
Support beams?
Yeah, I guess they're
like
beams.
The columns.
Columns.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were all covered in mirrors. And mirrors are very tricky. And we have seen things in investigations go from mirror to mirror. So you never have a mirror facing a mirror. And they had all these mirrors facing the mirrors. And then I went back, and then when they changed the hotel, someone painted over them. Painted over all the mirrors. Right? And that's kind of weird. But they said, yeah, there's not a lot of activity now. And I thought, that was a very smart, intuitive move. And then as soon as I went up to the second floor, I was like, oh, you just pushed everything up here. It's not there anymore. But I can't remember the name of that, but it's pretty – it's got some real negative stuff in there. And I went in and I just kind of looked around and I said to the lady, you know, there's a – I knew the floor and kind of what was happening. And she goes, well, if you want, you can go up. And I turned around and – the elevator doors opened. Like, why don't you come up? And I was like, nope, I think I'll stay down here. That's too much of an invitation.
Yeah, we also have Skinwalker Ranch around here.
Yep.
And yeah.
So everything.
My Sunday school teacher owns that when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Yeah. Did they have trouble? Was that the book that I read?
Well, they just recently bought. Like, it wasn't in there. He's a real estate mogul.
Yeah, that guy bought it, and then he let some people go in.
Yeah, that's kind
of wild. Yeah, I call that show 29 Men Not Afraid of a Demon, Terrified of a Woman. No women. No women allowed.
That's fantastic.
So what's the name of your podcast so people could go watch it?
My podcast is called Paranormal Karen.
Okay.
I have a lot. I mean, I'm sure this goes out everywhere, but I have a lot of listeners and friends in Utah.
Really?
Like, it's the mysticism, magical people. I know this is going to be a weird take, but anytime someone is born in, like, because of the Mormon church, when people are born under sort of a big thing like that, they tend to be very mystical.
Yeah.
And if they, even when they stay in or leave, it's almost like, I mean, I believe everything kind of has a reason. And I think very, like, gifted souls are sometimes born under that to be in a church.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And sometimes when they leave, you know, it's like I have some couple of friends that I investigate with that are Mormons, and it's like nothing's touching them. Nothing's going to give them a hard time. Or,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Can you tell by looking at someone if ghosts would particularly target them? Or
after if I was kind of with them kind of a while, there's a lot of things if they have kind of cuts in their aura or if their energy isn't good. And if your energy is off on a day and you're around...
sorry, I was just looking at Taylor's sunken eyes over here, and it was
yeah.
No, it's kind of every case is different, but yeah. If people are drugs or alcohol, that's like a fast one. That's what they call it, spirits. They call alcohol spirits because it attracts spirits and they can attach.
Whoa.
Okay, tell me if this is real. So, you know Alex Velluto?
How it's what?
Alex Velluto. You've probably worked with him here before, but he's a
comedian.
But he had a person come to him that was a paranormal person that said, I want to record a thing where you perform for ghosts or spirits. And so he went to this like abandoned basement somewhere, and all he had was like a light that Alex was doing jokes to any living people, but the light would flicker at certain times.
Yep.
Was that legit, or was the guy messing
with it? I don't know if that particular what they did was, but it's a very common. Yes, absolutely. In fact, it's so funny that you tell me that because I once pitched a TV show, and it was nothing. The guy's face lights up, and he goes, "How about this? How about comedians telling ghosts jokes, and then we'll see if they get any laughs?" And I was like, no, you're not going to no audience have comedians on TV with no audience. He thought it was brilliant. And I was like, no, that's not at all what I pitched to you. Yes, because they can, one of the ways that you, if you have like a flashlight, a while ago, they used to be able to turn TVs on and off. And that was really either on purpose or energetically they walked by and they kind of activated. So you can do that with certain flashlights or certain things. They kind of can manipulate the energy sometimes. But we've had, you can hear spirits laugh when we're talking and we're laughing. So it absolutely could have been real for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa. Have you performed with ghosts, right?
Or it just felt like it.
It felt like it. Yeah, it felt like it. I felt an emptiness there where I thought living people would be. But
well, yeah. Before I forget, Karen, one of my coworkers is a huge fan of yours. She says she's your number one fan.
Oh,
would you mind saying it, Amy?
Hi, Amy. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's it. That's the end of that segment. Yeah. So I want to hear a little bit about how you got into comedy. And you know, how, if ghosts preceded that or it came into, or how did that work?
You know, I don't have my answer for that is very weird, but I was always this. There wasn't really the only, like, I was telling jokes as a little kid at the church shows in my hometown, and I always was like the scary stuff. Like, there wasn't really a start. A clean start. I know that I didn't really think, you know, I was from Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and I didn't really think you just do comedy. I mean, I had done it there, and I had always been about comics and this and that. And then I moved to, I finished college. I hate school. Kids stay out of school. So I actually finished a semester early because I couldn't stand it. So I did an internship during the summer. Graduated. I don't know if I think I have my diploma. I don't know. They mailed it to me or something. And I went to Las Vegas and became a cigarette girl. And there was a bellman that did comedy. And he said, just come this night and give it a try. And I went and I opened with an old joke that got a huge laugh. And then everything else after that was terrible. But I knew after that laugh, I was like, this is it. This is all I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I have to laugh because the MC was kind of this really older guy. And I was so happy that I did it. I grabbed him and I gave him a kiss. And now I think, oh, how gross. You know what I mean? Like, but I was so happy. And then it was just a matter of figuring it out and moving to where the comedy was and stuff like that, you know?
I imagine Vegas's comedy scene was interesting. Was there kind of an overlap between magicians and comedians, and how, what was that like?
Yeah, probably lots there, of acts.
There kind of was, but at that time, this would be what the, would it be the late 80s? I don't know. I'm 58. I don't care if anyone knows how old I am. But at that time, it was very hard to do comedy because comedy, the wave hadn't hit. So you were either unbelievably professional or you were open mic, and there were rarely any open mics. Okay. So it wasn't a place to start, which was actually why I moved to San Diego, which was the smarter place to do it. But yeah, that I did know a lot of magicians, and they used to have these weird magician meetings that some people would take me to, and it was just all weird.
Magician meetings.
Yeah. It's well, they would meet like late at night, and then David Copperfield would show up, and they would talk about tricks and jokes, and I don't know what it was. Whoa. But I never was that, you know, magic's not really my thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I do the tarot, and sometimes people think it's a fake, and it's like, no, it's that's what I do for work.
Right.
That's cool.
Because magic, there's an intentional, we're deceiving you right now element to it.
Right. In fact, when I was doing my show on stage once, there was a magician, and he comes back and he goes, hey, you know how you said that? And the person went, yes, that's true. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, then keep saying it because it'll convince them more. And I was like, no, you're the fake. I move on.
Right.
I get it right and I go to the. So I was kind of exactly what you said. They are intentionally misleading or misdirecting for the trick.
The first time
your mind went straight to magicians in Vegas, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
What? Interesting. I mean, it was right on. I just don't think of magicians immediately. I know there's magicians
there. Well, think about, like, if you think of magicians performing, where do they perform?
It would be
Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Or
where else do they perform?
Where else can you have those lions? Right? Those white tigers. And
you're making valid points.
Yeah. The first time I ever performed in front of, like, a big crowd was my friend was a magician, and I opened for him or introduced him.
Was it in Vegas?
No, this was Vancouver, Washington.
Similar vibes.
I think Vegas would maybe where you're considered you really made it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It probably is the mid. Yeah.
Or I would more where you could stay home and not travel.
Yes. Yeah.
That seems to be the Vegas appeal of having a show, you know, you don't have to keep traveling. That would make me crazy though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I questioned it. Just
no, it's...
You have a mind for magic because you're full of deceit.
Yeah, that's true.
I did go out with a magician once there, and he owned like a warehouse. And for some reason, he taught me how to get out of a straitjacket. And that's a real good party trick.
You can still do it?
I can still do it. Anybody can do it. It's pretty easy.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
So it looks difficult.
No, not at all. It's unbelievably simple. I don't know if I should tell in case your audience is all nuts and in an insane asylum, yeah. But it's very easy.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's most of them, yeah. Well, that's cool. So you started in Vegas, went to San Diego, and that's really where you started doing comedy. And then did you, I wanted to hear, this is a question we like to ask, your weirdest or worst gig that you had while you were been doing comedy.
You know, I keep that's such an interesting question. There's been so many. No, I think because now when you do it for so long, you know, you're never like, that was the worst. You're just like, meh, move on if you have a bad show. But I really think for some reason the worst when I was first starting out was in Pocatello, Idaho.
I know of this.
This is
the worst show for many people.
Right? There was something weird about it, and I can't quite remember, but I remember thinking, I will never come back here. The worst experience, though, was I'm a gypsy. I can't be in one place for too long. And I took part in a show in Elko, Nevada for 3 months. 3 months. In the winter. And I said, oh, this will be fine. And I was like, no travel. I'll make all this money, pay off all my debts, which I did. But that was like prison. And it was so bizarre. And like at one morning I woke up and my truck was gone. And I looked and the guys had to do construction where the truck was. But instead of asking me to move it, they picked it up. And moved it across the lot. And I was like, wouldn't it have been easier to call me? Like, it was stuff like that was happening all the time. And the show was the one person that was sort of in charge of everything was out of her mind. So nothing was good. But in comedy, the great thing about comedy is you're there for a week. Maybe you have a boss for a week, but not really. And then you go away.
Yeah.
And this was like, I wasn't used to gossip and politics.
Right.
And one day I'd get a call and someone said, why did you do that on stage? And I don't even remember what it was. And I remember thinking, who told who? And it was like this circle. So it eventually comes back to a pit boss. So I go up to the pit boss, who shouldn't have anything to do with it. And I go, hey, what was the problem? He was so furious that I didn't go through channels of 400 people. It was crazy.
So you were at a casino then.
There's right, one yeah. place. There's a Red Lion Inn that's a casino. That is all that's in Elko. Wow. And Elko is constantly, you've probably seen it on the news, being taken over by crickets. Not in a swarm, in a match of wits. That's what I think of Elko. But it was, yeah, that was really, I'll never do 3 months again of anything.
Well, especially in Elko.
Yes.
That place of all places.
Yes. Yes. One. I don't know if it's gotten better, but it was terrible.
Were any of the shows fun at all? Or was
no.
They were all different.
No,
too?
And there was no one in the shows. We do shows for like 3 people, and it was crazy. It was awful.
I did a show in Wendover, which is a similar feeling town in Nevada, but just for a weekend. But I was opening for a guy, and they had like 5 shows booked. But then, like, the first show we show up, and nobody's there. Yes. So they're like, well, you just don't have to do it then.
Right. I know. You still have to do it. And what's picture that for 3 months.
Yeah,
like, it just grinded you down to nothing, you know?
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to ask. Is the alarm going off? Because it's a hot take alert
yeah,
time.
It's heating up in here. Do you have a... Karen, do you have a hot take for us? Something, an unpopular opinion?
I might have 2.
Ooh.
Okay.
So my first is I don't believe in instant pudding. I'm against war and instant pudding. And I think something must have gone horribly wrong if you need pudding instantly. Yeah. And I don't want anything to do with that. The other one that's kind of weird, but it kind of upset some people is I don't my greatest fear is to be eaten by alligators or to be alone in a room with a man who wants to sing me a song. Right? I wouldn't know where to look, and I'd just be like, how much to stop? How much to stop?
You're going
to
hate how we close the podcast.
So those are my hot takes.
Yeah. The floor drops out from here on. It's a pool of alligators, and then Jordan will
and then
try
I
and
pull
sing.
Out a guitar.
The door's locked. You have to pick one.
I know. One woman's romance is another woman's hostage situation.
Yeah, alligators one's scary. My irrational fear that I think about that would never happen, because I'm a redhead and scared of the sun. I'm nervous. Like the idea of being in the desert in a glass box with no clothes, I think about it a lot and how terrible that would be.
Now I'm going to think about that.
Is this something that you saw somewhere? Or
I don't think so. I think I just thought, what would be terrible? About. And I'm like, I've thought about it since I was a kid. If I die that way, that's going to be a really bad way to go.
You know, that's a weird, but I have that. I think, I actually think that's a nervous system dysregulation. Like, I go to this woman to reset my nervous system because I get like, I think this is part of the comedy mind too, because the comedy mind is always going outside further and what would happen.
Right.
And like, I had a little dog and then I was thinking of getting another. And then I was like, what if the dog jumps on the counter? And what if the stove is on? And what if the dog jumps on the stove? And it goes, and then the lady's like, okay, you know what you got to do, Karen? Take a deep breath and look around and say, well, no dogs are on fire now, so we don't have to get upset now. Yeah. It's like, right? Like, do you do that? Like, what if, and then what if, my God.
Oh, for sure.
I thought about my dog the other day. There was something that I was worried about. It would get it would knock something over, and then it would like squash the dog.
Right, and it's there's no way that's going to happen, but your mind goes, get the dog away from the bureau. It's going to fall over if we have an earthquake.
Well, I want to make sure we have time for the tarot card.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for this.
All right, so I will tell you guys, when I read, and some people have seen my psychic stand-up show on TikTok and stuff. So since we're in kind of a time crunch, the more specific the question, the more specific the answer I can give you. And I'll show you the cards and tell you what I'm talking about. Because it is hard it's hard to tell people the truth. You know, I told my this woman, you need to leave that man. He's crazy. And she said, I know, but he's still your father. So, yeah. So I'll tell you what I'm doing the whole time. So who has a particular question?
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
Can it be about anything?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm headed out on a cruise tomorrow.
Okay.
Are my shows going to go well?
Are your shows going to go well? Okay. Should we see if the ship is going to sink?
I have a guess.
How many shows do you have?
Six.
Oh, wow. Really? That's a lot, isn't it? Yeah. Are you in the one that's a club?
They do a pretty good job setting up like a club. It's kind of a multi-purpose room.
Okay. But yeah. I'll do an overall card, and then we'll see what's...
Okay.
Okay. I'm nervous. I'm going to show you your overall card, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm a professional. Okay.
That doesn't look good. That doesn't look... Wow.
Actually, it's not a bad card. Okay. The meaning of this card is worried about what's not going to happen.
Oh, that's me, like in a nutshell.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
And also, do you have trouble sleeping when you're there?
No, but I have had trouble sleeping this week dreading it so much.
Oh, okay. I think your shows are going to go fine because this is kind of like that it's all taking place in your head.
Oh, that's so good to
hear. And
if
anyone wants a little tarot card lesson, all these, when you look where the swords are pointed and they're hung on the wall, which means they're done. And they're all pointed east, and east means the sun's about to come up. So you're probably going to have fun shows, but don't dread it.
Wow. Mm. That's honestly super helpful. Is that card have a name? Like, are all the cards different named? Like,
yes. So that one is the Nine of Swords. Okay. So in the situation of what you asked me, that was my interpretation. But I want to tell you, be careful if you look it up, because you could find other interpretations.
I'm going with your interpretation.
So are these questions meant to be what will happen, or like, can they be advice questions?
They can be advice. They can be both of those. Anything you want. And the most important thing as a tarot reader is whatever you ask me, I tell you the question back, because it has to be like, if you're going to go, will I ever, you know, that's kind of an open-ended question. So I'll fix it if it's not asked correctly.
Okay. So I've started developing a card game, a board game with a friend.
Okay.
Is this something that I should see through, or?
You mean, is it something you should finish?
Yeah. Finish or focus a lot of energy on.
Okay.
Is that a good question?
I'm going to do that in a short answer, and then we'll do a long answer. But okay. I may need more room for the long.
Okay.
Okay. So let me see if this is a good way with your energy. Okay. All right. Okay. If this is good, there's a big if here. First of all, are you not good at juggling your energy and your time?
You know, that's probably true. I haven't thought about it.
Okay, so
I just say that when Taylor comes in here to record a podcast, he spends about 25 minutes just nudging this thing behind us back and forth every...
How is it, folks? Let me know if you're going to get a spot.
And it always ends up exactly the same. Sorry to interrupt.
That is okay. All right, so now... Then we go to the Seven of Cups. Now, this card is not a bad card, but it is is this interesting? The clouds in tarot, when something's up in the clouds, it's not grounded, mm-hmm. Okay? So this idea still is sort of in formulation. It is a good idea if you get organized or even set up an outline or whatever you're going to do. This is a great card to end on. These cards right here are kind of like la, 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 you know, like this would be a no. But this card is definitely a yes if you get your act together.
Okay. Big if.
Yeah.
Big if.
Wow. That's always, if I get my act together, that's always the question. Does that card mean order?
Yes, that card means divine order. The emperor is about divine order. He's like the engineer, the construction. He's the project manager. He puts it all together. So if you find a way to put it all together... Yes, absolutely. A good work of your time.
Okay.
But in the other card, which I get all the time, the dreamy card that I was kind of telling you about, the clouds, that can be when an idea is not fully formulated. So when you get it fully formulated, then the organizational part starts and it'd be good.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
That's great. Thank you. Okay. Do you have another question?
Yeah,
I've got one.
I think I have one.
This is how it goes. Once you get started, you're like, wait a minute.
Maybe this one's too specific. I wanted to ask, like, will I ever be able to see the Utah Jazz win a championship?
Oh, this is a tough one. Okay.
Or be satisfied as a Jazz fan, if maybe that's a better
Those
way.
Those are two separate questions. Okay.
Is that an appropriate question for tarot card stuff?
Okay. Yeah.
People ask that all the time.
Will I get to see one specifically?
Oh, okay.
I don't care if they win one after. I don't know. Maybe I can enjoy one after, too. I don't know.
This is going to be a big upset. They're going to win the World Series. It's not looking too good.
Not surprised, to be totally honest.
This card is kind of the card of defeat.
That's so funny. It's so appropriate
for the Utah Jazz.
With the corner torn off.
Card of defeat.
Yeah, this is actually the three forms of...
Is he wearing a Jazz uniform? Okay, can I ask one more?
Sure.
So what's something about Jordan and I for the podcast listeners? Are Jordan and I truly real friends?
Whoa.
Oh, okay, that's a weird. You want me to answer that? You want me to ask the cards if you're real friends? This sounds a weird setup card.
Sounds like...
Did you have a fight? Did you have a squabble today?
We always talk about whether we're just podcast friends or if we are real friends.
Oh, so if the podcast was gone, would you be friends? All right.
Would I delete his number right away? I'm not planning to.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
I know. Are you real friends? Are they soulmates? Okay.
Well, we know that one's true.
Yes, absolutely. You would actually maybe even think of another project. Let me tell you something.
Are they getting married?
Well, if you ask me about love, that's what that would be.
Okay.
But let me tell you why this card is good and probably why you might be asking this question. This is a card of contracts. Okay, if you asked me if you were in love, I would say absolutely, but that's not what you asked me. Okay. This is a card of contracts and mediation and working together as a team. So you may not be hang out Saturday afternoon at the barbecue friends, but this works. So if this ends... Go find another project. Okay. You know how you can have too much of a friend and there's some friends you can't work with?
Yeah.
This is why it works and why you're asking that question.
Is that little red devil at the top, is that Jordan?
No, that's... It's actually a lion. But this is the thing up top is a healing card.
That's funny. You know what's funny
also? Gives
me hope,
man.
Is this real?
You sent me screenshots of this. Is this real?
So I asked ChatGPT, who is Jordan Macon? And I added the same for me. And then I said...
You said, is Jordan Macon married?
Then I asked, is Jordan Macon married? And they said, yes. Or who is Jordan Macon married to? Said, Taylor Nielsen. And I didn't prompt it. I think... ChatGPT is just trying to make connections because it knows that we do a podcast together.
Yeah. So
but that's funny. That's the marriage card.
Yeah.
You're saying.
But the contract, because marriage is a contract. Right. So you have a good give and take business wise or this way. Good. Yeah. You don't have to. There's a lot of touching. I bring that out to people.
Well,
yeah. So you would always work well together.
Man,
look at us, man.
Well, that makes
that's
my
surprising.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Sure.
That was an absolute blast.
Sure, great.
I think that's we're getting to the end here.
Yeah, Karen, is there anything you want to promote or anything else you want to talk about? It's totally up to you.
My Instagram is @Rontowski. My TikTok is @Rontowski. And be careful of fakes, because whenever you're reading tarot, fakes. I would never approach anyone for a reading. People copy my account and then they get an email. But you'll know it's not me because I do not speak broken English. I use the full sentences. But and if anybody ever wanted a reading, you could go to my website. I would never approach you. And the psychic stand-up show is really doing great. That's the fun one that I'm going to do now.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, sorry, listeners. The show's already happening. So by the time you're watching this, but yeah. I'm sure it's been went wonderfully.
Well, it's awesome to meet you, Karen. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah,
great.
Thanks for taking the time. This was so fun. We learned a lot, and
I
think we're better because of it.
We are. We're closer. Well, guys, this has been the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. Make sure to go on to the Angel app and watch Karen's special. It's is a great rewatch, and you can see her cute dog as well.
Yes.
So, okay, this has been the Driver Comedy Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.